is still a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh. The fundamental things apply as time goes by.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to True Stories of Tinseltown, and I am delighted. Delighted to welcome the lovely pal of mine, Jessica Raines, who is, I don't know, I got to ask Jessica how she feels about this, the daughter of Claude Raines, who is a major movie star and an incredible movie star, and our girl was an actress as well, and I always find her work on YouTube. So say hello, Jessica, to everybody, because you got a lot of people like looking forward to listening to you. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you? Welcome back.
I know.
It was so... If you were here before.
Oh, yeah, welcome back, everybody. Yeah, you know, that group is fabulous. Your father's fan group, they're just great.
It's amazing. I mean, it's amazing. I can't believe these people. There is a woman in Russia.
Kate. I love Kate.
By the name of Kate.
I love her.
Who should go to work for Turner. I mean, she can track down any piece of information and edit pieces together to make a short, like a documentary.
She's fabulous.
And
I saw it.
She's incredible. She found things on me that I didn't know existed. It was crazy.
Yeah, she's great. I like her. And yeah. We're in contact. She's so cute. I love her. Does she call you Miss Raines?
Yes. I said to her, please call me Jessica. And she said, you don't understand. I was raised in Russia, and we do not do that.
Yeah. I said, please call me Grace. And she said, I just can't. So I said, okay.
Right.
That's cool.
So I'm Miss,
we're friends.
So she calls me Miss Raines, which I think is very funny.
And Miss Carney,
anyway,
which I
sent
laugh.
Her a present.
Did you?
And, well, she wanted a postcard that I, you know, like an autograph, but on a postcard. And I thought, wait a second. She's done all these things for me. I have seen things that I did, you know, 55 years ago in films and on television, and she pieced them all together and made a reel. And I need to send her more than a postcard with my name on it. So I made a package, and I put in the, what do you call it that you wear around your neck? You know,
the scarf?
When you go to a film festival. No, like when you go to a film festival, they
the badges.
The badge,
mm-hmm.
and it was on like a lanyard, and I sent that, and I sent a picture of the Venice Beach where I live, and I sent a picture of my father in some movie that he had written some sassy comment on the back. And honestly, I did not think that these things would ever get there because she told me that somebody else had sent her something and it took 3 months.
Wow.
But it didn't take 3 months. It took like 3 weeks. And she was beside herself, and I just loved it. It just made me feel so good. I mean, she's amazing.
She really is. I love Kate. She's great. She really is. And I could never call you Miss Kate. But it's cute. No. I like that she calls us that.
She's very young.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's a doll, and she's a fan, and she does such great stuff. So, Kate, are your ears burning? Because I just was talking to her by message and saying I'm going to call Jessica now because she has some good questions. But first, we're going to talk about your trip to North Carolina last week. What was that for? Was it your dad's film festival or something?
They contacted me about a film festival called River Run.
Mm-hmm.
And it was its 20th year, and it's unlike any film festival that I've been to, because what they do is they accept submissions from all over the world, and then they screen them, and they pick 114 films, many of them documentaries,
mm-hmm.
and they show them in a period of 10 days, all day long, in different venues, in Winston-Salem, which is the town where this film festival is. And one of the things that they were doing was showing a couple of old standards, favorites, whatever. and one of them was Casablanca. So they wanted to put together a panel to talk about the film, mm-hmm. and I said to them, I can't talk about the film. I can only talk about my father because I was 4 when this film came out, and mm-hmm. and he did not come home and talk to me about his work.
No, da-da, ga-ga, goo-goo. No.
When I was 4.
Yeah.
So they said, well, that's great. We'd like that, and will you come, and we'll fly you there, and we'll put you up. And it was terrific. They put us up in an old cotton mill that had been made into a hotel, and mm-hmm. it was really fabulous. I mean, it was an old building and really terrific. And we didn't see a lot of the films. In fact, we only saw one, which was Sammy Davis, a very long documentary on Sammy Davis Jr., which was really well done. But we didn't see any of the other films because we opted to go to see an estate that was built by the Reynolds cigarette people and was a fabulous house. They call it a bungalow.
A bungalow. 100 rooms.
It was all on one floor
yeah.
with an incredible art exhibit in the basement. Mm-hmm. And they had an indoor swimming pool.
Don't you?
What?
Don't you have one?
I have 2.
I have something. I have a basin for my foot.
Yeah. A racquetball court indoors. A bowling alley.
That's rich.
Indoors.
That's very rich.
And the floor is slightly raked so that on roller skates you can get from one end of the house to the other.
Did you go on roller skates just to get this? I got to see.
No,
moonlight skate with your guy.
So, and it was really beautiful, and it was furnished with all the original furniture and so forth and so on. And then we went into town to Old Salem and had lunch at the tavern, which was incredible. And so we chose to do those things rather than go and see the films. But one of the most fun things was that at breakfast, every morning in this little cotton gin, everybody had breakfast together. So we met a lot of the filmmakers and talked to them, a lot of kids. And by that, I mean people under 35.
Right. That's where they're going.
From all over the world. I mean, it was amazing. And they were very excited. I mean, they had their films were chosen to be in this film festival. And I think it lasts for 10 days. We were just there for 4. But it was fun. We had a good time, and they had a screening of Casablanca, which was well attended. And then afterwards, they had a Q&A with me and Monica Henreid and Elizabeth, what is her middle name? Gilcuddy Lucas.
Paul Lucas's daughter. Or the granddaughter.
No, it's the granddaughter of Michael Curtiz.
Oh, Michael Curtiz, the director. What a great director he was. How was she?
And she would probably love to do a podcast with you. She
knows. Oh, would you ask her? I would love it.
Of course. Yeah. She's terrific. And so the three of us had, I mean, I've known Monica for, you know, like 4 years. And we had a good time together, and it was fun.
Did you bring
your? We flew home.
You brought your squeeze, though, so it wasn't just you three girls having breakfast.
It was the three of us on a stage after the screening of Casablanca.
So you guys went to lunch, and you didn't go. You didn't bring your partner.
Yes, I did.
How'd you ever do on that bed? Did I ever do what? Remember, you said the bed was so high. Did you? Do they have? They have footstools for those.
Oh, it was terrible. No,
they're scary.
They took pillows, hard pillows from the armchair and piled them up so that I could get into the bed. I'm not kidding you.
I believe you. They're horrible.
It was crazy.
They are so high, and they're
crazy. Anyway,
they should have had like a what they usually do with those big beds. In the South, and my sister got one. I don't know why, and I sleep on her couch when I visit her. But you know, I would have to have like crib things up for me to go there because what if you don't know where you are in the middle of the night and then you just go plomp off of this giant bed? It's horrible.
Well, I generally know where I am in the middle of the night.
I don't. Well, I know I'm not at like some strange man's house or anything like that, but I would be forgetting that I'm home. And I, you know, mine is not a big hop, skip, and a jump off the bed. It's just, you know, one little leg and I'm there. But that terrifies me. So you ended up sleeping okay for those nights.
Yeah.
Got used to it.
And then the other thing that they do at this festival is they have parties every night.
Woo woo!
Now I'm not such party girl.
No disco.
But we were told that we were sort of expected to be there, although I can't imagine why. And they were generally very noisy and very crazy, and a band at one of them. You couldn't hear what anybody said, and you're supposed to mill around and talk to a lot of people, I guess. And so that was that.
How long did you stay there?
We were there for 4 days.
But I mean, at the disco, at the discotheque.
At the party?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Not as long as I had to.
Yeah. I mean, that's no fun for you guys. That would be
but
no fun.
But it was fun. You know, it was fun. It's just that hearing people was impossible. I mean, you really, and most of them could not have a conversation.
Yeah, you either have to write notes or do sign language or something like that because it just can't work. I know those clubs are crazy. I was going to ask you, because how I described you as is I'm interviewing my unofficial, I'm the unofficial historian of Jessica Raines, daughter of Claude Raines. How do you like being described at that at this point? And earlier on, did it ever bug you that that was always sort of like after, here's Jessica Raines, the daughter of Claude Raines? Did that ever bug you?
Okay. When I was an actress in New York and Los Angeles, I never told anybody. So, I mean, my name was Jessica Raines, and if somebody said to me, are you related to Claude Raines? I said, yes, he was my father. But generally, that didn't happen because he was 48 when I was born, which was unusual in that day. Now all these old men are having babies.
80-year-old guys. Anthony Quinn had one like at 80. Yuck.
But then they didn't do that.
Yeah.
And so I never told anybody because I just, I don't know, I felt like I wanted to do it on my own.
Of course. And
people, I didn't want to be compared.
Ugh.
I never had the fabulous voice that he had. And
I like your voice.
I mean, I think I was a good actress, but I was not what he was. And so I didn't really want to be compared.
What?
So I kept my mouth shut.
And, you know, I think
so
it was
then.
Go on. I'm sorry.
About trying to think what the first one I did about 4 years ago, no, 20 years ago, did I tell you about the one that I did in Crystal City, Virginia?
No.
I can't remember. Okay, so about 20 years ago, I got a phone call from somebody, and he said, we do a classic film festival in Crystal City, Virginia, and we want you to come and accept an award for your father. So I thought, Crystal City, Virginia, okay, I'll do that. And never done anything like this before.
Uh-huh.
So Jack, my partner, and I went off to Crystal. Oh, no. So on the phone, he said to me, we're going to give you a table. And I said, a table? I mean, I grew up in a house with all antique furniture,
yeah,
which is much of which is in my house now.
Yeah.
And I thought they were going to give me a table. So I.
Oh, you thought that was going to be your gift?
Yeah.
Oh. I mean, nice.
So they
table.
Said, we'll give you a table. And I said,
oh, for coming. I gotcha.
And what am I supposed to do with the table? And he said, well, you're going to sell your stuff.
Oh, my God.
And I said, what stuff? And he said, you know, your T-shirts with your father's picture on it and your, I don't know, whatever. He, you know, your autographed this and your whatever that. And I said, I don't have any stuff. So he said to me, get some. So so I went off, and a friend of mine, Joanna Wiskowski, who's on your, who's on the Claude Rains fan page, made me this wonderful drawing of Claude that would be good for transferring to a T-shirt. So I ran off and got a bunch of T-shirts made, and I got a bunch of book bags made. And I found a picture of myself with my father having tea or something when I was like seven. And off we went to Crystal City, Virginia. And I said, "What? I can't sell these photographs. This is ridiculous." This is, well, Kevin McCarthy was there selling his photographs for $40.
Oh, my Lord. And I know who he is. He was cute, but 40 bucks worth?
You know? So I sold Yikes. My photographs for $5 a piece. And so there was rather a large line. And
I bet.
And then
you're the blue light special.
I had to accept this award from my father. And they said to me, they called me three times, and they said, you have to be in formal wear.
Oh, my.
Wear formal dress. So I got as formal as I can, which is not very formal, in a silk shirt and another silk shirt over it and whatever. And when we got to this thing, we were all in formal wear, and the audience was in cutoffs and flip-flops.
Well, how long ago was this, Jessica?
20-some years.
Oh, my.
I mean, it was really funny. Anyway.
at least you didn't dress in a ball gown and a tiara. That would have been worse.
No, that I did not do. So then about, let's see, not this year, but last year, they asked me if I would come and do the Humphrey Bogart Film Festival at Key Largo.
Right.
So then I said, well, I've never been to Key Largo. Let's go to Key Largo. And it was fabulous. We had a wonderful time.
Oh,
and Monica was there, and Steve Bogart, who I'd never met before, who's adorable.
Oh, I want him on this show so bad. Ugh, so bad.
And his, did you ask him?
Well, I can't. I did, but it's like, you know, with the Facebook, unless you're friends, you can't really get in there and ask. So
let me messenger him. I will ask him.
He will be wonderful. And I read his book, and I love him. He makes me laugh.
And Leslie Bogart, his sister, who's a yoga teacher who lives about 4 miles from me, who's very, she's shy.
Yeah,
I would say she's publicity shy.
I want to ask you about that, because when I was looking things, did you ever find the Casablanca roundtable thing? Did they ever get back to you?
No, it seemed to have vanished, and I wrote to her.
Yeah.
To Kathy, and I asked her, and she, I don't know whether she didn't get it. I'm not terrific on the computer or what, but it seems to have vanished.
Yeah. Well, I was looking, while I was doing that, as your historian, unofficial, I was looking for it. I even asked Eddie Muller from TCM. I said, Eddie, do you know where I could find this anywhere? Because he has so much stuff on YouTube. And I said, sorry, no. But then I looked and I saw you at the Key Largo thing with Steven. And what shocked me was seeing Leslie there, because I had never, ever seen Leslie. Was that her first time at one of those things?
I don't know, but I don't think she was happy. She was happy to be there until somebody said, oh, Leslie Bogart, you know, and then she would sort of climb up or leave the room or whatever. She's just not, you know, she's not interested in doing this.
I admired that about her, and she also was a nurse, I believe, as well.
That I don't know.
I read a Lawrence book.
But I said to Steve, I said to Leslie when I met her, I said, I met your mother, who was Lauren Bacall, and she said to me, was she mean to you?
So does Steven says that question, too. How was she to you?
So, I don't know what all that's about.
Well, I do. I have some bad behind-the-scenes stories, but I won't say them.
Right. So then the next one was to go to the 75th anniversary of Casablanca in Casablanca, Morocco.
I looked it up. Looking for it. What a great joint.
Would you turn that down?
No.
So off, Jack and I went to Casablanca, mm-hmm. and that was terrific. It was terrific. And not only was it fun and crazy. I mean, I've been to Casablanca before, but not treated like this.
Royalty,
it was
huh?
It was co-hosted by the American Embassy.
Wow.
And a woman by the name of Kathy Krieger, who owns a nightclub restaurant there called Rick's Cafe, which she built. And it's quite extraordinary because for a woman in a country like Morocco to pull this off is quite extraordinary. And every morning when we left the hotel, which had singing birds hanging from cages in the lobby, there was a car waiting. Monica was there, and Monica had taken a friend with her by the name of Diane Raver, who runs a film festival in New Jersey. Do you know who she is?
What part of New Jersey does she run it?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I couldn't say. Yeah.
And Algene Harmetz was there, who is 90 years old and wrote the first book on Casablanca in 1991 or two. And she and I have been friends since then. I don't mean we have lunch once a week.
But you've been acquaintances and friends, yeah.
And she was there, and Noah Eisenberg was there, who wrote the second most recent book about Casablanca. And every morning there was a car, a big car, waiting with a driver and a guide and two men named Muhammad to help us up and down the stairs.
Did you have red carpets?
Just about.
Or flying carpets, even better. Wouldn't that have been cool?
Flying carpets, yeah.
Going around.
It was really crazy. And they took us all over and showed us wonderful things and wonderful sights. And then the last day they pulled up and they said, and we said, where are we going today? And he said, we're going to do an architectural tour of the city. And we said, we don't want to do an architectural tour. We want to go to the bazaar and buy stuff.
So you were rebels.
So he said, no, we're going to do an architectural tour. And we said, no, we're going to go buy stuff. So he took us to the bazaar, which covers acres, and let us off, and we were there for hours, and it was fabulous.
They seem so, the bazaar seems so crazy and crowded, and was it like that?
It was not crowded, but it was wonderful, and it's not like shopping here, let me tell you. I mean,
well, Times Square, $40 for a pocketbook, come on.
Right.
Yeah.
You have to bargain, they expect you to.
Yeah.
So,
are you a good bargainer?
In a foreign language. Well, I'm okay, but I feel like I'm cheating.
People. I'm the same way. I am the worst bargainer.
But they expect you to bargain.
I know.
And they have a price that they will sell things for, mm-hmm. and they don't go below that price.
Uh-uh.
So you're not really going to take advantage of them.
Yeah, I did it once. And it's fun.
Where?
In New York, because everybody, like, barter, right. Grace, barter, it's on right. the street. And there was a pocketbook I really wanted. And he gave me a price. And I'm like, no, but that's unacceptable. It was the first and only time I bartered. And I felt so guilty, so guilty. But then I knew he wouldn't have given it to me if he was going to lose money. Obviously,
right,
like you
exactly.
said. But I'm just not a barterer. I'm like you. It's like, But I'm glad you had fun. Did you have to go to the architecture thing too, or did they let you pass?
No,
that?
We didn't do that. We didn't do that. So then this one, River Run, was the the fourth one I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth one, 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.
So
and they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
And people are very nice and take very good care of you, and it was fun.
How come you never did the other one? Like, when you did that one 20 years ago, was that sort of like when you said, you know, this isn't for me selling T-shirts, my father's autograph,
no,
or things like that?
Well, I mean, the selling the T-shirts was just weird.
Yeah.
I mean, it just doesn't appeal to me, and I'm not, you know, I don't need to do this. There's no sort of need in me to do it. And my father certainly doesn't need it. People always say, when we're doing the Q&As, what would your father have thought of this if he could see you here doing this?
Uh-huh.
And I always say he would have thought this was the craziest thing he ever saw. And that's true. I mean, he didn't, you know, he was sort of kept to himself and was not a party goer.
He was not a flashy guy by any means.
I'm not saying he never went to a party, but he wasn't, you know, he didn't move in Hollywood circles.
He didn't hang with Errol Flynn.
He didn't hang with Errol Flynn, although he nicked his testicles in a dress rehearsal of Robin Hood.
You're kidding! I never heard that story.
Interesting, because my father told me that story, but he doesn't have a sword fight with Errol Flynn, so I don't know where their story came from. Whether they took the sword play out, or I'm not sure, but my father loved to tell that story.
That he was nicked.
I don't know.
Who knows? It's
a
great one.
He nicked his testicles.
Yes, and he was, you know, he was like very, his king was very effeminate in that. And some people are saying.
He said, I played him like a homosexual, you know. Okay.
That was the thing, because when people read it, or they love his performance in that, and they say he like channels Betty Davis, you know, in her most Queen Elizabeth-y mode there. Okay, so let's get to some of the questions these people are asking, these wonderful fans. I am going to start with one. You don't probably remember this. Grace Davis, who is on that lovely Claude Rains page, says, why on earth did he go to London in the middle of World War II to make a movie? Do you remember him going, and did he ever talk about that to you?
I remember it very well. I will tell you that he went because actors are crazy, and they will do anything to play a part like that.
What part was it? I tried to figure it out when I was thinking it.
Caesar and Cleopatra.
Oh, that's when it was going on? He went to do that?
Yes.
And he was in England, and they were being bombed and blitzed.
Yes, and he went on a bomber plane. They flew him there in a bomber plane because they felt it was safer.
Oh my!
And he had a suitcase full of nylon stockings for my mother's friends in England,
and chocolate bars.
He couldn't get them then because they were used for making parachutes. And he stayed at the Connaught Hotel in London, and every morning when he left, and there was a car and a driver waiting to take him to the studio, and the man would say, are you having a lovely day? And my father would say, what? There were bombs dropping everywhere, and this man is asking me if I'm having a lovely day.
But he thought that movie was so well worth it to go and fly there. How long was he gone?
So then they moved him to a hotel called Great Foster's, which was out in the country, and they weren't bombing the country. And
you mean the countryside of England or another country?
Countryside.
Okay.
Countryside, closer to the studio.
Uh-huh.
And Do you know who Nijinsky was? Does that mean anything to you? He was a very famous Russian ballet dancer. I mean, very famous.
Yeah.
And so anyway, he was staying in this hotel, and in the middle of the night, he would hear this banging going on in the hall. And somebody was running up and down the hall, and there was this banging. And so he went downstairs the next morning, and he said to the man at the desk, "I don't know what's going on here, but there's something very weird." And he said, "And I peeked out of my room, and there was a man in a white nightgown, and he was dancing in the hall."
He didn't land softly, I gather, huh?
The man behind the desk said, "Oh, yes, that's Nijinsky. He's quite mad."
You know? I would imagine so. I can't remember. He's in his white, beautiful gown swirling around. That must have been a sight. That's hysterical.
So I don't know how long he was there. He communicated with my mother and me on a very regular basis and sent me English books. On the Mary Bear series, it was a you know, like the Bobbsey Twins series or that kind of thing, except she was called Mary Bear. And I don't think they talked on the phone because you didn't do that then. But there were lots of letters. And I was seven, so I don't remember much more than that.
But that's a lot more than I thought that you would know, because I wasn't even sure if you were born yet.
He told me that he thought that he thought Vivian Leigh was not well, and apparently she had some problems.
Bipolar disorder, she did. What a horrible thing. And then she ended up having shock therapy. And
awful.
Yeah. So, and she was such a beautiful woman, my goodness, but she was not well, that's for sure. Well, that was a scoop you got from that.
That's what I remember, and I don't know how long he was there for. But I will tell you something very... There was a guy there in the editing room whose name was Tony Harvey. And I got to know him. I don't know what I was doing in the editing room. It was when I was working for the Bulging Brothers. That's a whole other story. And he had played Ptolemy, the boy king, in Caesar and Cleopatra. And he ended up directing me in a television show out here years later.
Do you remember the show?
Harvey. It was a show about... Just let me think. She's a very famous actress.
Let me see. I have your... I just happen to be your IMDb thing. I can pull that up.
She's English. So Glenda Jackson.
Ah.
And I played her nurse in a movie for television.
In a movie for television. And that would have been in the 70s or the 80s?
Who knows?
Yeah, because they have all this stuff, your airport waitress, medical center. And I tell you, I keep finding you things on this. And I told you I found you in Sarah T., Portrait of Teenage Alcoholic.
Right.
Did you watch that yet?
Yes.
You did watch it?
Funny.
You were great.
Yes.
Oh, I loved your shh to the baby.
I mean, I haven't seen any of these things for years.
Well, they're
not. But between you and Case...
Yeah.
Kept me very busy.
Well, we are your... I'll share with Kate because she does great stuff. We will be your unofficial Jessica Raines, what do you call it, historians. There's another one I'm going to watch that's going to be... That's on YouTube tonight called Hurricane. Do you remember that movie? Your part in this is the woman.
Do you remember it? I don't remember me in it.
Yeah, but you do remember doing it, but you don't remember all that other stuff.
Yes.
So there's so many on there. I just find it for you. Whoops. Another guy from there, William Keller, asked to Jessica, did your dad feel constrained by the screenplay's focus on Nelson Eddy and the whole trite, we know how he feels about that show, plot of Phantom of the Opera?
I have no idea.
Yeah, I didn't think you'd know that.
I have no idea. I mean, he never talked to me about his work.
Very rarely, right?
And he never saw any of his films, aside from when he took me to Downingtown, Pennsylvania, to see The Invisible Man when I was about 10, I think.
And everybody was listening to him instead of the movie.
And everybody's listening to him, yeah.
Imagine if he did it in Times Square today. He'd been run out of town with torches. Can you imagine?
But he didn't watch his films, so he didn't really have a favorite film. I mean,
I was going to ask you that. What did he have a favorite film that he did?
No, I don't know.
He never mentioned it.
I don't know, but if he did, he didn't talk to me about it.
Do you have a favorite film that he did?
I like Deception.
Oh, that's a great film. I loved his character. Yeah. He was just, you know. It was just, it made me angry, the ending, you know, so she kills him. And all of a sudden, Paul Henry is like, oh, darling, I love you no matter. Now he's this big cheese and he's all jealous before. And she kills your poor father, Helanius. And I just didn't like the movie, but I loved Claude. I thought he was fabulous in that.
Right.
Did you ever see Mr. Skeffington?
Of course.
Did you like that film?
Yeah.
I loved your dad. I thought he was like the dream. I mean, what a husband. Who could have a better husband?
Right. Yes.
Bette Davis. I didn't buy in that, you know, because, oh, I'm so beautiful. Oh, trippy. You know what I mean? She really had to sell that. And how mean.
My mother was very upset by her performance because my mother felt that she was trying to sort of be the star, you know.
And totally, like, over, yeah, because it's named after your father, but to totally sort of, what do you call it, upstage?
Right.
Well, she was, but I didn't really buy her as this great beauty. And you know what? I did not like the ending because she did so many rotten things. I was mad. I'm glad that Job got taken in, but I was mad. Oh, now he can always think she's the most beautiful
she was
woman.
Rotten.
Yeah. So poor Job. She's taking him in. Oh, thank God he's blind. Okay, now I'll take him in because he still thinks I'm beautiful.
Right.
But
he can't see.
Yeah. Oh, you're still the most beautiful woman in the world. I'm like, come on, dump her. Did your father ever say anything about a film he would have loved to done but never got the part?
No.
Did he like working? I think he only worked once with Hitchcock, right? Notorious?
I think it was more than once.
Maybe his TV shows.
Sure, but they were friends.
Oh, they were. They were buds.
Yeah. And my parents would go to their house for dinner and vice versa. And Jack and I were once in a restaurant years ago. I mean, it's probably almost 40 years ago.
Right.
And we saw Hitchcock sitting at a table and his wife was feeding him. It was horrible.
Oh, no.
And Jack said to me, you ought to go over and introduce yourself. And I said, I can't. You know, it was just creepy.
Would have even remembered at that point he was gaga.
I don't know.
You know?
I mean, I don't know what kind of shape he was in, you know.
That's sad.
But
did you know his daughter? That she got put in a lot of his films.
She was at that first thing that I did. The
sell the T-shirts?
Yeah, the sell the T-shirts thing, yeah. In Crystal City, Virginia.
What was
she
selling?
She was there. She had, a book, maybe, that I don't know whether she wrote it or somebody else wrote it.
So she was sort of promoting that.
Yes.
Well, she was lucky. She got a part in Psycho. She got a humongous part in the one Strangers on the Train. And when I saw her TCM, I said she grew into her looks. I mean, she looks like a nice middle-aged lady now, but then, yeah.
She was very sweet, as I remember.
Yeah. And what do you think of Alma?
I have no opinion at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you have dinner when they came over? Or you were like the kid.
No, I was not involved at all. I don't remember ever meeting him. I don't know where I was, but I was not involved.
Did he ever say anything about Notorious with Cary Grant? And Ingrid, who was like 25 feet taller than him, which always cracked me up.
She told me that they dug a trench for her.
Yeah, she was
when she was working with my father.
She was so tall. There was some point where she's stealing the key, and he's kind of going, darling.
Yes.
And I think they had like this lift thing where he slowly walks up to her because I think she's like 5'9" or 10" in her bare feet, and then if she wears heels, 6 feet.
Right.
Your dad was what, 5'6"?
At best, on a good day.
If his hair was teased right. So your favorite performance with your father was Deception. I know you joined Lee Strasberg, and you were really good friends with Susan Strasberg, and she had a tragic end. She had no insurance, did she, Jessica, with her breast cancer?
I have no idea. I don't know what happened to her at the end. We were friends when we were like 7 years old.
Oh, wow.
So, and she and her family lived up the street from us, and we were very good friends, but then we lost touch, and so I don't really know what happened to her. I saw her in, I think, The Diary of Anne Frank on Broadway, and she was extraordinary. But I don't know what happened to her. What happened at the end?
She had breast cancer, and I don't know, she wasn't working. You have to work a certain amount to get the health insurance from the Actors Fund.
Well, I can't believe that I have it. Why didn't she have it?
I don't know what the whole thing was. You would have hoped that her parents had a little bit of moolah to put her that way, but she was not, from what I read, and she would even come out publicly saying that she could not really get funding for her cancer, and she died soon after. She was pretty young.
Right.
She was pretty young when she died, and she died of breast cancer that had spread. When you went to the Actors Studio, do you think you had...
I did not go to the Actors Studio. I studied in Lee's class, which was not in the Actor Studio. It was in the Carnegie Hall Annex in New York, and it was a class with like 30 people in it.
But it wasn't like, were you like, be a bug, be a bee, be a one of those people? Was it one of those things? Method acting, like feel it, feel you're a bug, feel your wings buzzing. Oh, was that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then I once said to Lee, I studied with him for like 4 years.
Yeah.
And I said to him, so when do you use this, the method? And he said to me, when you're in trouble. So I thought that was interesting. I mean, there's so much of acting that's just instinct.
Yeah.
And it's natural, and it's just back and forth.
Listening to the, listening to the other actor.
Listening, yeah. And but there are times when you get into trouble and you don't know how to approach something, or you don't know how to do a scene, or you don't know how to get an emotion, and then you go back and grab some of this stuff that you learned in acting classes and use it to get where you need to be.
So you did not want to join the Actors Studio?
I did. I auditioned and I didn't get in.
Do you know who David Selby is?
No.
Well, he's an actor. He did soaps. He did a lot of other different stuff. And he remembers you from the 70s during commercials and stuff like that, because I brought up you when I was doing
anything. What's his name? David what?
S-E-L-B-Y. He was in a movie with Barbara Streisand, and he was in, you know, he was a handsome devil in a lot of stuff, a lot of plays. But he remembered you. He said that he remembered mm-hmm. you from the 70s.
Well, Dustin Hoffman was in my class.
Did you like him?
We were friendly, but I never saw him do a scene. I never saw him do an exercise. He sat in the back row and read the newspaper. And all I can say is he must have, absorbed a hell of a lot, because I never saw him. You know, people were killing their grandmothers to be next on the scene list, and he just sat in the back and read the paper.
That's funny. And he was never, nobody ever addressed him like, oh, excuse me, Dustin, you're just reading the paper. Could we talk to you?
No. You really were on your own, mm-hmm. you know, to take care of yourself. And, you know, nobody was telling you what to do.
I wonder if, I wonder if it's still open. It was on, 44th between 9th and 10th, because I live in the neighborhood, but I haven't been by that street in a long time, but I can't imagine.
Right.
I haven't really spoken to any actors that have said that they have gone there, so I think it must be kind of gone with the wind.
Well, this was in the annex of Carnegie Hall.
Mm-hmm.
There was a building called the Annex, and it was all, like, offices and studios and like that. So, I don't know. I mean, I only went to the Actors Studio once, which was to do my audition, and I don't remember anything about it, really.
And did you... I'm just getting to some other questions. There was a letter posted, did you see, on your father's webpage from Dirk Bogarde to your dad? Was he a good friend of your dad's?
He was a friend of mine.
Oh, really? Dirk Bogarde was your pal?
In that movie about Glenda Jackson, he played her husband. I wish I could remember the name of that movie.
Where's my IMDb?
It was a movie for television.
Do you know
Anthony Harvey?
Let me see, because I have my IMD thing right here. As your unofficial historian, it is right by my side. Yes, it is. Okay, let's get to Jessica, because that would be it. She did. It was a movie for TV. I didn't think she did those.
Yes.
Okay, and it must have probably been 70s or 80s, I would imagine. And Anthony...
You know, I'm not sure. Let me just think a minute. If she was in it or it was about her.
And you became dear friends with him. With Dirk.
Friends.
Just good friends.
And he had an idea... that he wanted he and I to do something, to do a play together, but I can't remember what it was. And he was living mostly in the south of France, and we corresponded for a while. I didn't know he knew my father. That was weird.
Yeah, did you see the letter?
No.
Well, it's on the fan page. There's this adorable picture of you and your mother and your father on IMDb. It is so, so cute. Oh, my God. You're holding a doll. Your father's pouring tea.
Oh, I was always holding a doll.
Yeah, that was so cute. So let's go into this. I don't think it was Honky Tonk Freeway, do you?
No, it was not.
The Wildlife Woman Next Door.
No, it was not that.
Patricia Neal's story, Honky Tonk Freeway, Trapper John.
Yes, sorry. Okay, stop. It was the Patricia Neal story.
Oh, she played Patricia Neal, right? Let me look at this.
Well, look it up.
Okay, she played Patricia Neal. And Dirk Bogarde played her
husband.
Yes, Roald Dahl. And Sydney and Priscilla Morrill and Angela Constant. You were Nurse Jean.
here you go. I had a name.
You weren't just the woman. You also had a name in Sarah T. Portrait of, you know, Mrs. Somebody. So that was a scoop because, he was around when your father was alive, so he could have certainly known your father, but he didn't mention it to you. Is there a question you've been interviewed a lot. Is there a question you wish somebody, this is from Kate, is there a question you wish somebody would have asked you, but nobody ever has?
I never thought about it.
Good question, right?
Good question, but I don't.
But I don't know. I don't think so.
I don't remember that I wanted anybody to ask me a certain question.
When did you get comfortable?
Go on. I'm not known for keeping my mouth shut, so I think that if there had been something that I wanted to talk about, that it somehow would have come out.
Okay, we'll do some of these. What was your father's, who was your father's favorite actor, actress? Did he ever tell you?
No, all I know is that he loved Bogart.
And they had a good rapport as well, right?
And they had good rapport. And my father called him Bogey, like
a pal
who knew him.
Yeah.
I know he liked Hitchcock.
Because you guys had dinner. They had dinner.
He and Betty Davis had a long friendship.
Because she'd stay at your farm.
Yes, and Jimmy Stewart lived across the street from us in Brentwood out here, and they never talked to each other.
That's odd.
Weird.
Did they even just say hello? Like, good morning, wave?
I don't think so. Weird.
That's odd.
No.
Huh. That is weird. It's very weird.
At least not to my knowledge.
Yeah, I don't know. People are such weirdos.
Right.
So those
are... Oh, I know. Do you know who Mildred Dunnock was?
Oh, of course. She did a lot of stuff.
Well, they were great friends.
Who was? Your dad and Mildred?
Mildred Dunnock and my father, yeah.
She did great work, a lot of character work.
Yeah, yes.
Obviously, your father is one of your favorite, if not your favorite, actor. Correct?
Yes.
Of his peers, who did you admire or did you have a crush on when you were a kid?
I never had a crush on an actor.
Really?
Never.
Huh. That's
probably
great.
Because it was just too close. I don't know.
You probably met them and they, you know, you're like, ew, you know, they're.
Yeah, but it didn't mean anything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, because your dad was.
I mean,
was
when
one.
when you're in the middle of it, it doesn't mean anything.
Right. So you're not like swooning over.
I'm not swooning. No, I'm not swooning over actors.
Now, I don't swoon over.
I think Brad Pitt is very cute, but that's not.
Yeah, he is cute, but I don't swoon either. Once I got old enough to have boyfriends and stuff, I stopped swooning over actors or singers or things
right.
like that. I didn't have
right.
that anymore. But when I was right. a kid, I swooned. I swooned. I can't help myself.
Right.
I was a swooner, right. but I'm over that now. Now I swoon about people in real life who are alive.
Right.
So saying that, did you have a favorite actress? Not that you had a crush on her, but did you enjoy watching one actress
no.
better than the other?
No. First of all, because I grew up mainly on the farm,
mm-hmm.
There was no television. Okay, we listened to the radio, but it didn't exist. Or if it did, not in my house. I mean, I didn't have a television set until I was 24 years old.
Wow. And your dad did do television. He didn't want one?
Yeah, but he wasn't interested. He didn't watch it, and I didn't watch it. And, the life on the farm was pretty isolated. He drove me to school in the morning, which was 10 miles away.
Wow.
When I was a kid. And then he would go home, and then my mother would pick me up in the afternoon. I mean, that's 40 miles a day to get me to school. This is isolated.
Very isolated.
And we didn't go to movies. you know, the life was on the farm.
Did you have a lot of chores? Somebody asked me, ask you if you had a lot of chores.
Chicken. Just the damn chickens.
So I hope you didn't have to cut their throats. Strangle them. Did you? No. Please tell me no.
Yes.
You did?
Yes.
You had to kill them?
Wait a second. Who's calling? There was a big chicken coop.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go and gather the eggs.
Yes, that sounds fine.
And every day.
Uh-huh.
No, that and feed them.
Mm-hmm.
And I hated them. And that was it. But, I mean, it was my mother churned butter.
Wow.
I mean, really churned it. I'm not kidding.
I believe you.
And we had a lot of steer. I can't remember how many, but I would say between 25 and 40 head of steer. And when you took them to the market, you would have one steer that would come home with you in frozen pieces.
Oh, geez.
So that was we had a big freezer.
Oh, my.
So that was the meat.
Eek.
You know, for the year or for however long it lasted.
Oh, if I visited, I don't know. I'm trying to be a vegetarian. I'm trying not to eat meat, and I'm doing pretty good. I was one for two years.
I don't need a lot of it anymore.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, I see cows and I see things, and I'm like, I don't want to eat you. I'm sorry, I just can't eat you.
I'm with you.
Yes. So, you lived in New York in the 70s, where it was gritty.
I was in New York. Let's see. I was married in 60. And I was in Europe for 2 years after that, 61, 62. And then we came back to New York. And I was in New York until 72. So that's 10 years.
And then you moved to L.A.?
Yes.
You know what?
Well, no.
No?
The first 2 years, we went back and forth.
Back and forth to L.A.
You know,
and New York?
I was married to an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So
he was getting work back and forth.
And a lot of work. Oh, he would love to do a podcast with you. Are you kidding? His name is Rick Lenz.
Oh, I know who he is. Yeah.
Okay.
If he wants to, be my guest, because I do know who he is.
Right. And so we would go back and forth for, I don't know, a year probably. And then we moved out here permanently, and I've been here ever since.
In Venice Beach?
No. We started in a big old house in Benedict Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to an adorable little house in Studio City, which was the gatehouse to the Lancashire estate.
Cool.
Which was adorable. That's when the marriage broke up, then I bought that house.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was having lunch years later. I was in that house for like 23 years. And then years later, I was having lunch with a friend. And she said to me, do you know about the Venice canals? And I said, no. And she said, well, they're right around the corner from where I live. Let's take a walk. And I took one look, and I said, this is where I have to live.
So
at that point, I thought about it for a couple of years. And then I said, well, I don't want to be 70 years old and climbing the 37 steps to the front door of the Lancashire house. So I sold that house and moved here.
And you love
and
it.
That was 20 years ago.
And you are quite happy. This is like your favorite of all places.
Yeah, but I don't like Los Angeles at all.
Yeah.
And if it weren't for this anymore. And if it weren't for this house, I'd be out of here. I don't know where I'd go, but the traffic here is awful.
I couldn't drive. I'd be like a maniac. I would be causing accidents every day. I don't drive at all. What are they, six, eight-lane freeways? Ah!
Right.
Somebody'd have to tow me the whole way. I would be terrified. So guess what I was watching? Hurricane. It's on. I'm going to send you the link to it. And you, do you remember that at all, doing that movie?
I remembered that I was in it. I have no idea what I was doing.
You were a party guest during a hurricane with this big lout, and everybody told everybody, get out, you know, it's going to be bad. And the big lout is like, it's happened all the time. Have another beer, have a drink, and everybody's just la, la, la. And you're at the hurricane party.
Are you sure?
Sure looked like you.
I have no recollection of this at all.
Wow.
I have a recollection of a lot of people who had been evacuated, maybe it was another movie, on sleeping on cots in some kind of armory or something. That wasn't in it?
That wasn't in it. You know who's in it? Mama Walton was in it. Larry Hagman was in it. All these people were in it. You know, because it was all those 70s movies of the week, which were great.
Right.
They have so many wonderful. Hey, what was it like working with our little exorcist girl, the drunken girl that babysat your precious child? Linda Blair.
I have no recollection of it at all.
None. Did you see the clip of you? You were cute. You were very cute.
Yeah. But I don't remember her. I don't remember anything about how long ago was it? I mean,
sheesh, 76 or something?
Yeah.
When did you decide? Yeah, that was a while ago.
Right.
When did you decide that you were going to, you just didn't feel like acting anymore?
I had an agent who called me up and said, Jessica, I don't know what to do with you anymore. You're too old to be young, and you're too young to be old.
Oh, how sweet.
and you look younger than you are, and I don't know what to do. And I said to her, are you firing me? And she said, no, I'm just telling you that I don't know what to do with you. So I had a script. I don't even remember the script or where it came from, that I really thought would make a terrific movie. And I thought that I should produce it, but I had no idea really what that meant.
Right.
So, and everybody said, oh, you know, you just go around and you talk about it and you raise the money and you make the film and you don't need to know anything, please. So I applied to the American Film Institute. And I applied to the USC Film School. And USC Film School turned me down. And I got a letter from the American Film Institute saying that they accepted me. And I thought that it must be something that my daughter had applied to. Because I couldn't. I mean, I had no experience. I didn't know what I was doing. I was an actress. So they accepted me. I was the oldest person in my class. I had a great time. I produced 4 half-hour films in that year. And it was amazing. I mean, it was just an amazing experience. It was total immersion.
Yeah, you know, and you know what's...
Like saying, okay, now you have to learn Spanish, so you're going to go into this total immersion class, and you'll be there for a year, and when you come out, you'll speak fluent Spanish.
But isn't that great, too? You got those four. That's like, you know, huge. That's very big for half-hour movies. You've also, you know what it is? When you're older, you don't take that stuff for granted, like, you know, oh, I hate this class or whatever. So you can really immerse yourself in it because you have so much life experience and you know that you really want to learn this kind of stuff.
Well, the thing is that these kids, and they were kids, mostly came from backgrounds of making films. Directors, writers, producers from film schools in New York, from colleges where they majored in film. And I had nothing. I mean, I had nothing about producing. I had a lot of acting experience. So at the beginning of the year in their theater, you watch all the things that these kids have done, and some of them were fabulous. And I thought, oh, my God, what am I doing here? This is crazy. And then in the first day of the producing class, somebody raised his hand and said to the teacher, what's a honey wagon? Well, I knew what a honey wagon was because they always have them on shoots where you're outside. You know, it's the, where the bathrooms are. And
oh, I think it's a toilet, a honey wagon? Well, that's a lovely way to put it.
Doesn't know what a honey wagon is. I'm okay.
Yeah, I didn't know what a... Well, what a lovely name for toilets. Honey wagon. Yeah. That's something new for me. I never heard that. I just... very polite, the honey wagon.
Right.
But so you felt like, ha, I know something he doesn't know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, and then they make it, in a way, very easy for you at film school, in film school, because you don't have to pay for anything. They give you, I can't remember what it was, like $400 to make the movie or something. Mm-hmm. They give you that. And you buy the film. And you rent the equipment, but you don't have to pay for it. And you get the locations, but they have an agreement with the location, you know, board or whatever it's called, that you don't have to pay for the locations. I mean, so in that way, it's easy. You know, you're dealing with a very small budget. You don't pay the actors. You don't pay the crew because they're all your classmates. And... so that's how I cut my teeth.
And then did you produce after you left school?
10 films in 11 years.
Wow.
I pretty much started in the horror genre.
Cool.
A guy came to a woman, a director who was in the class, and said, I have... $60,000 to make a movie. Can you do it for that? And she, I want it shot on 35, which is expensive for film. Now we're paying, right? So she came to me and said, can you do a movie for $60,000? And I said, sure. I had no idea if I could. I was lying through my teeth. And so we got a script written. And we cast the movie. It was called Mirror of Death.
Ooh la la. I wonder if I can get that on YouTube.
I don't know. And we shot it in my house.
Ooh.
And on the day that the equipment arrived, they had to haul it up these 37 steps to the front door and laid it out in sound blankets on the living room floor. And then I went into the bathroom and shut the door and cried.
Oh, because you were so scared.
I was terrified.
Overwhelmed.
It was a very small crew, like, I think, 8 people. I was cooking. I was producing. I was doing all the budget stuff and the paperwork. Nobody got paid. They were all the kids that I had been in school with. I didn't get paid, nothing, nobody. But they all got contracts, which I had written up, saying that they would get a piece of action if the film ever sold. And it did.
It did sell.
It did, and everybody got paid.
Good. Where did it play?
Mostly, I think, and went straight to video stores. It was during the time when the video stores were just opening and they hadn't made deals with the studios yet. So they were looking for product.
Now what?
And,
Mirror of Death?
Mirror of Death.
Sounds good. I bet it's on YouTube. I'm looking for it.
I don't know.
I will check it out, definitely. That's so cool. So you did all those things. You did your whole 10, and I have to look at that. I think we should, like, I think we've done, like, I think this is almost an hour and a half. Wow.
Oh, my God, that's too long. Who's going to listen?
Everybody. All your fans on your father's fan page and other people. They love you. I've had people, you know, listen who didn't know who Claude Rains was, believe it or not, and they loved you. They thought you were fun. I want to ask you, what is your idea right now of an ideal day? What would be your ideal day?
What a weird question.
No, it isn't. Well, what would be a real fun day for you? Now, let's okay, say ideal, first, you know, like you're going to meet Jesus or anything like that. Just a fun day.
Am I going to meet Jesus? God,
Jesus. No, that he's going to hang out and make water into wine at your party. That, something like that. Nothing about death. Just, you know, vino.
I don't know. My day would be, well, first of all, we swim 3 days a week.
Cool.
And I really like to do that. So that's how it would start. And then we'd, I could probably go to the movies every day. There's a movie that I'm crazy about called The Rider. You need to see it. It's only in New York and L.A. right now.
Haven't heard of it.
You never heard of it?
I don't think
it's
so.
Just starting. It's amazing. R-I-D-E-R, not rider like with ink, but rider like on a horse.
Okay, I will check that out and see the scoop.
So go to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
Take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
Go out and have a terrific dinner somewhere. And come home and watch Madam Secretary.
Well, that sounds like a very nice day.
You don't want a nice day?
Yeah, that's a great day. Yeah,
The other thing is that I'm crazy about traveling in foreign countries.
So if you could travel, too. But
so if I could be in a foreign country at night every day, I'd be happy.
But you wouldn't want to have to take the plane every day and do all that stuff.
No, I mean, we've traveled. We've been everywhere except India.
Good for you.
And Australia. Never been to Australia. Not interested. Never been to India. Not interested.
Yeah, I have had people. I know people who've gone there, and they just can't wait to get out. But then there are other people who like it. But
I think I would be too upset.
Me too. It's like it would depress me, and I would just I couldn't have a good time. I'd be like, you know, hiding in my hotel room and seeing all the animals walking down the street and all the poor people. Oh my God, I would be distraught.
Right.
Doesn't sound like fun to me. Okay, yeah. Jessica, I think we did good. Oh, I just want to say something. Felton Dunn, who is on your on your father's Facebook page, he wanted to tell you that how much he loved your dad. And as a child, he would dress as the Invisible Man, and he would wrap himself up three. He'd make his parents wrap him up three times. Isn't that cute? Three times. How could he move? And he got these antique goggles and this whole thing, and he played the Invisible Man, and he wanted me to tell you and what a great how much he loved your dad. So Felton, I told, and if I forgot anybody else's stuff, I'm so sorry. I write badly. I should type, but I'm not a good typer either. But Jessica, you are, of course, as usual, fabulous. And let me tell you, this is one more thing I got to tell you. You know, you were telling me about that Cool Whip, so. I'm looking all over these Cool commercials, and I get to that Tucker
Inn.
I get to Tucker Inn, which has 20 minutes of commercials. Stupid me. I didn't go to you first and say, Jessica, are you in those Tucker Inn commercials? Which Tucker Inn? And instead, you told me I'm not in any of those Tucker Inn commercials, and I had just gone through the 20 Tucker Inn 20 minutes after that lady made a lot of dough, that Mrs. Tucker lady. She did.
Right.
Yeah. No, I never found it. Never found it. Just Tucker in. Okie dokie.
The whole thing about commercials is that they don't, you know, we met, where were we? We were at the Crystal City, Virginia Classic Film Festival. And there were some guys there that we had lunch with, and they had a club that got together to watch 1950s commercials.
Wow. That sounds like a swinging time.
They were sitting around the table trading stories about the 1950s commercials. It was pretty funny.
I bet. But they do.
But I don't.
Yeah.
I don't think they get onto YouTube or, you know.
Well, some of them do. They have all the, but you have to pick through a zillion of them because they have so many different
right.
commercials from the 70s, 50s, the 60s. And
right.
there's a zillion. And I went through Miss Tucker in, and I looked probably 40 minutes.
Well, you're looking in the wrong place.
Well, now I know. 20 minutes of Mrs. Tucker.
Kate could find it for you.
Kate, can you find that Cool Whip? And everybody's driving for miles around to go to Tucker Inn, and they can't just drive around the corner to get their own Cool Whip. I never get that. Just you got to go to Tucker Inn to get this lady giving you a Cool Whip. I don't know. Anyway, Jessica, as usual, you are a darling. This should be posted
well, thank
soon.
You.
And I love talking to you. I think you're fabulous. And fun.
I'm gonna try to get those people for you.
You rule.
Now, who do you want? You want Monica?
Mm-hmm.
You want Liz?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want Rick?
Sure, because I think he probably come. I remember him, and of course the big Stephen, but he's a toughie.
And you want Stephen? Now he's going to be Well, I don't know. He might be difficult.
I think he'd be difficult. I saw a really good interview with him and I did write him, but he never. I don't know. We'll see. But
right.
I'd be thrilled with anybody. And if Rick wants to come on, because I do remember him, and he did a lot of 70s stuff. That would be great. So you take care, and thanks a zillion, Jessica.
Okay. You will hear from me soon. Thank you.
You are welcome, and thank you, my dear.
Okay.
I had fun.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay, me too.
Bye.